The day the June 8th coup began after the close of the session, legislators scrambled to find out if the procedure that allowed two dissident Democratic senators to align themselves with Republicans followed parliamentarian rules. They went to look for a copy of the procedural book, known as the Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedure, which most state legislatures follow. But none of the senators had one in their possession. A source tells WNYC they went to the chamber's library, where there was supposed to be a copy, but it had been checked out. The anecdote is emblematic of what Albany insiders say is an extraordinary set of circumstances that created the current crisis. Gerald Benjamin, a professor of political science at SUNY New Paltz, has observed state politics for more than three decades. He says he's never seen anything like this.
So there's rules, but you can't fault the body. However much we can and should criticize our legislature, you can't fault the body for not having a rule concerning an eventuality that is might arise once every 1,000 years.
Benjamin ticks off all of the unusual events that came together to create the perfect storm, so to speak, that has led to the Albany standstill.
One, you have a vacancy in lieutenant governorship. Two, you had the two-vote majority in the Senate. Three, you have the even number of seats in the Senate created by the Republicans to retain their majority.
And Benjamin goes on. One of the two dissident Democrats, Hiram Montserrat, who with Pedro Espada Jr. gave Republicans control, returned to the Democrats, causing an even split. And Benjamin adds, it doesn't help that there was an unpopular Democratic majority leader, Malcolm Smith, along with a weak governor, David Patterson. For most New Yorkers, life may go on in their communities, and they may not see the immediate impact of what many describe as the ultimate in dysfunctional behavior at the state capitol. But Blair Horner, of the New York Public Interest Research Group, says there are serious consequences if the leadership dispute isn't resolved quickly.
One is it reinforces public cynicism that Albany can't do anything. And the second part is there are key laws that expire at the end of this month, laws that deal with local government's financial affairs. If the Senate is not working, if they're not passing laws like they're supposed to be, those local government finances will be in shambles.
Horner says it's highly unlikely, but the situation can be resolved if one party concedes and gives the other the majority. If not,
then the only other way out of this mess is for there to be some sort of compromise between the Democrats and the Republicans to share resources and to share decision-making, at least for the next week or so, to get the people's work done. Then they can go back to fighting with each other in July when important legislation is not held hostage to this partisan bickering.
But Gerald Benjamin says it may be tougher than that. He says the real battle is about which party is going to dominate in the next decade. He says Republicans who held control of the state Senate for more than four decades until last year's elections are holding on to this last bastion because they've lost all statewide offices. What happens in the Senate could determine their future, he says.
It's not just for power today, it's for power over the long term that they're battling.
If the warring senators don't reach an agreement soon, Governor Patterson says he'll intervene to set the agenda himself. For WNYC, I'm Elaine Rivera.